Hi there, my name is Darren and welcome to Hugh. Today, God has put something strong on my heart, and that is His church. And that involves everybody who is a part of His kingdom. And most particularly, it's about what the church is doing today in God's kingdom and what God would like His church to do today in His kingdom. So to start off with, I would like us to have a look at the book of Revelation. At the very beginning, John has a vision with a strong message from Jesus Christ to his people, the church. Now, John sees Jesus as the high priest standing in the holy place in the temple of God, walking amongst the golden lampstands. And there is one thing we need to understand about this first part of John's vision. It is the duty of the high priest to keep the lampstand burning continually before God, as God commanded in the Old Testament. Now, when John sees all this vision at the beginning, Jesus then speaks an important message which is directed at his church. In Jesus' message, we're going to have a look at what he said to the church that was in Ephesus. So let us read chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but they are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you first had. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Here we see that the church of Ephesus has lost its first love towards God. The church itself became so busy doing the works of God that it overtook its love for God. Now remember the first two commandments that Jesus said that were most important. Firstly, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. And secondly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Both of these commandments involves love, a passion, and a desire towards others and God. The church at Ephesus lost sight of this and made itself busy, working away with a passion towards works, towards the running of the church, towards keeping the church in line with the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, they were caught up completely in the life of the church and not the life of Jesus Christ, who is the person behind their salvation, the person who loved and embraced them into his own mighty kingdom. They were seeking really the welfare of the church, but they were not seeking the will of God and making him the center of all their actions. This is a lot of the church today, busy with itself instead of with God. But it does not need to be this way, and I want to encourage everybody to focus on God. Do you remember when Peter and the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit? And then afterwards, Peter stood up and spoke to the crowd of people who were with them about Jesus, their Messiah. What was the people's reaction to Peter's speech? Acts chapter 2, 37 says, "When the people heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" That is the question we should be asking ourselves if we feel God cutting into our hearts about his son Jesus Christ. "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now, while I'm saying this, I'm really feeling God heavy on my heart, and I really feel his presence here. Let us go back and take a look at the early church in its beginnings. How did it operate in the new kingdom of God? And it was new then. What can I say? It was very excited. It was moved by the message of Jesus Christ. It had passion and an overwhelming desire to serve God. They were tearing the scriptures apart to find out more about God. And most importantly, Jesus, their new Savior, became the center of their fellowship. And when they gathered together, they centered on having communion of bread and wine to make sure they remembered Jesus and that he came to establish a relationship with him and his Father through the Holy Spirit. Sure, they spent time singing, they even had sermons, but communion, remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, with a lot of prayer, was the focus of their gatherings. They met with purpose as a group and did the work of God's kingdom together. And most importantly, together they pursued the kingdom of heaven to know and move in the will of God. This was the early church at its beginnings. Now, does this sound like our church today? Sure, there are some people out there and they are passionate for God. But as a collective body, is this our church today? I'll let you think about that. The church today now appears to be very busy with itself, doing a lot of practical work, gathering in small home groups, and of course, getting together usually on a Sunday for songs, communion, and a sermon. Now, there's nothing wrong with all of those things, but what is missing is the love, the passion for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and especially the seeking through prayer of God's kingdom as a group of believers. You'll find that prayer now happens maybe once or twice a week, usually at night or during the day when most people cannot participate. You'd be lucky just to get a few people to attend a prayer meeting anyway. And the prayers are usually very weak and usually not about seeking God's will or his kingdom, which is a great shame. We seem to have prayers that go around the world. And the next thing is the sermon. Every Sunday, we all sit through a sermon, and I usually hear people say, that was a great sermon. But then I notice not much happens afterwards. A lot of people go home, and that is it until the following Sunday. Or they may talk about the sermon in a small home group, which is a good thing. But then after that, nothing really happens after that. Sadly, it gets forgotten about. And I have to admit, I'm guilty of that myself. Our hearts become dull with repetitiveness of church, which then turns into a religious habit. So where does a church really need to be? I'll give you an example. Throughout history, when God moves on people, suddenly there is a great change in people's attitudes. They become like the early church. They become full of excitement. They get heavily into prayer and press into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ becomes the center and focus of all that they do. Their love for God just explodes and grows and spreads to other people around them. And one thing I do suggest is read the Welsh Revival. That is a fantastic way to see how God moves when a small group of number of people get together in prayer. It is a great reminder of what happens when people gather to seek God in his kingdom because of their love for him. They keep their relationship with Jesus alive through prayer and communion. And communion is a reminder of God's love, sacrifice, and his graciousness towards us. And that is why we need to remember him. The church today needs to change how it does the will of God in the kingdom of God. Firstly, as I just said, we need to remember him, Jesus Christ, and make him the center of everything we do. We need to get close to our Savior so we can fall in love with him again, so we can have a relationship with him and his Father, and that becomes stronger every time we gather together. Secondly, seeking God in prayer as a church, not as a little group, not a little group here or there, as a body of believers. Well, think about what day would be best for everyone to pray together. What would be the best day? Well, that's a pretty easy solution for me. And that is when all the church gets together, which is usually on a Sunday. But you say, we'll lose people because we are breaking the tradition of how the church is run. But listen to this. I want you to stand up before God and answer me this. How much time did Jesus spend in prayer? How much time did the early church spend in prayer? How much time did the people during the Welsh Revival spend in prayer? How hungry are you for God? Or are you more concerned about the will of man? I tell you this now, if you make prayer and communion the center of your gathering and remember that Jesus Christ is the center of all things, will not God honor such faithfulness and love and a passion for him and his kingdom? I encourage you today, not just from my heart, but from God's heart, to return to him, to fall in love with him again as it was in the beginning of your relationship. Seek God together as a group of people, a group of believers, his kingdom and his righteousness. Because when people of God press in together with a common purpose in prayer, you'll be amazed how it allows God to move in everyone's lives. And when we do come together as a people, it is not about telling God what we want or to tell God what to do. It is about humbling ourselves before him, seeking his will and purpose for his church and his will for the area in where you live. So, in conclusion, as God is pressing on me to share this message, I do encourage you all as a people, a group of believers, to come together and press into God's kingdom with prayer and communion. Just as the people in Jerusalem responded to Peter's message with, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Let us repent as they did and turn to God and obey the command Jesus gave to his followers. And the command was, "Remember me." In other words, do not ever forget me. Do not ever forget what I have done for you. Do not ever forget why I came to you. I just really pray and encourage you to press in as believers, as a church, to get together. Do not worry about what other people think. Do not worry about what other believers might say. Press in together. If God is speaking to you, if this message is cutting your heart, then you know what to do. And just do it. Do not worry about the will of man. Pursue the will of God. Have a great day. God bless, and I'll talk to you next time.